reading Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, chapter 13 titled Nature, the Enjoyer and Consciousness. Today we're going to cover 5 verses, texts 8 to 12. The Sanskrit is as follows. Amanitvam adhambitvam, ahimsa kshantir arjavam, acharyopasanam shocham sthairyam atma vinigraham, indriyarteshu vairagyam, anahankara evacha, janma mrityu charavyadhi dukha doshanu darshanam, asaktir anabhishvanga, putra dara grihadishu, nityam cha samachittatvam, ishtan ishtopapattishu, mai chananya yogena bhaktiravya vicharini, vivik Desha Sevitvam Aratir Jana Sangsidhi Sangsadi Adhyatma Jnana Nityatvam Tatva Jnana Artha Darshanam Etaj Jnanam Iti Proktam Ajnanam Yad Atonyata. Now please listen very carefully to the translation. Lord Krishna is describing the elements of knowledge. They are as follows. Humility, pridelessness, non-violence, tolerance, simplicity, approaching a bona fide spiritual master, cleanliness, steadiness, self-control, renunciation of the objects of sense gratification, absence of false ego, the perception of the evil of birth, death, old age and disease, detachment, freedom from entanglement with children, wife, home and the rest, even-mindedness amid pleasant and unpleasant events, constant and unalloyed devotion to me, Krishna says, aspiring to live in a solitary place, detachment from the general mass of people, accepting the importance of self-realization and philosophical search for the absolute truth. All these, Lord Krishna says, I declare to be knowledge. And besides this, whatever there may be is ignorance. So here, Lord Krishna is describing what is knowledge. The whole Bhagavad Gita is meant to give us knowledge because we are in ignorance of our spiritual situation. So this Vedic culture or traditional Indian culture or Hindu culture has always been high regard for knowledge. And knowledge specifically meant Vedic knowledge. And in the present time also, up to the present day, in India, people, they highly regard knowledge, the acquisition of knowledge, people who are learned. However, in the modern age, what was traditionally the subject of study, Vedic knowledge, of which the highest level of knowledge is spiritual knowledge, that has been almost totally supplanted by mundane knowledge. And people are very interested in getting university degrees. And that is also one kind of knowledge. In the Vedas it said that there are two kinds of knowledge. One is paravidya and the other is aparavidya. Paravidya means the knowledge of the world beyond, or supreme knowledge. And knowledge of this material world is aparavidya, or knowledge that although getting knowledge, it releases us from the ignorance of being complete barbarians, we may say that. And if we get knowledge in the present age, we study, and the knowledge, it releases us from having to be a manual laborer, you could say. If you get knowledge, then you can do some work which involves the mind rather than the body. And in this way, knowledge lifts us to a higher platform. But actually, material knowledge, it's not what Lord Krishna describes as knowledge here. This simply knowing something about this material world, how to be an engineer, how to be a doctor, that knowledge, ipso facto, will not release us from this material world. Material knowledge won't release us. It will, or rather, it will cause us to be more and more attached to this material world by increasing the illusion of thinking that this material world is a place that is desirable for us. Therefore, the great Vaishnava Acharya Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung, Jaro Bidda Jato Mayar Bhaibhav Tomar Bhajane Bandha Mohajanamya Anitta Shamsari Jivke Kare Gadha, which means that knowledge of this material world, Jaro Bidda, cultivating knowledge of this material world, it's simply another display of Maya, or the illusion that typifies and binds us in this material world. And it is an obstacle in worshipping Krishna, because we become enamored by that. That, oh, this is so, why, I don't need Krishna, I can just study and I'll become very great and I'll become very proud, I have a MSc, PhD, Nobel Prize, and what do I need Krishna for? This illusion is increased by mundane knowledge. And within this material existence, it makes us, in mundane knowledge, makes us into an educated ass. This is the conclusion of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who himself was actually highly educated in this mundane knowledge. He was, in the 19th century, from one of the first batches of Indians who were given Western education in English medium. But later he regretted that what treasure we have in our own culture, the spiritual knowledge of the Vedas, of the Bhagavad Gita, of Srimad Bhagavatam. So he regretted that he had, in his own language, become somewhat like an ass. That analogy is there because an ass carries heavy weights. Big, you'll see asses, they carry big piles of washing cloth to be washed, or heavy rocks. And it doesn't do any benefit to the ass to carry this, but nevertheless, the ass is for no reason, a very proud, isn't the ass has nothing to be proud of, he's just an ass. If you want to insult someone, you call him an ass. But nevertheless, he's proud. Oh, I'm an ass. So in the same way, we become proud by accumulating knowledge that ultimately does us no good whatsoever, because it doesn't fit within the description of knowledge given by Lord Krishna. And therefore he says that all else besides this is ignorance. And that's a fact. We may be a brilliant mathematician, or a brilliant, or at least a competent engineer or doctor or whatever, but if we don't understand who we are or what the purpose of life is, then it, at the time of death, that's the time of testing, it doesn't help us at all. There's a story in this regard that one scholar was walking, doing a research tour in the outback of Bengal in the days before there were bridges and motor transport and all these things. So in Bengal, there are so many rivers, and you'll have to cross that with a boatman. So they came to one big, broad river, and the scholar who was on a biological tour of, he was gathering specimens, botanical, or something like this, tour. Then he got in the boat when there was a boatman, and the boatmen generally, they're uneducated because they don't need a big education to row a boat across a river. They make their living by rowing a boat. So they're rowing a boat, and the scholar saw in the river so many fish, and he said to the boatman, "Boatman, you know what that fish is? It's a magarmach." He said, "That's a magar. But how much do you know about piscology anyway? Piscology? What's this? You never studied piscology? The study of fish? Oh, you wasted 25% of your life." So the boatman's rowing, and as the boatmen, they had the habit, they'd row, and at the same time, they'd chant the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That was the culture. People would plow the fields and sing the names of the Lord. They would spin cloth and sing the names of the Lord. That's education. Even without knowing how to read or write, if you know that we have to worship the Lord, that is education. So the boatman, he wasn't educated in reading and writing or all these things, but he chanted Hare Krishna, and he knows, "I'm a servant of Krishna." So they were going, and some birds flew overhead, and the scholar became very excited. "Oh, you see those birds?" He said, "Yeah, I see those birds." "Oh, they're very rare migrating ducks." So then the pundit said to the, or scholar, said to the boatman that, "Have you studied ornithology?" "What? You haven't studied ornithology? You've wasted 50% of your life." Then as they were crossing, it was the monsoon season, and the clouds were gathering, and the scholar pointed out to the boatman, "Oh, look, that's a very interesting formation of clouds. Have you studied meteorology?" "No." "Oh, you have wasted 75% of your life." But the boatman said, "Well, I'll tell you one thing. Those clouds means there's going to be a big storm soon. And we're only halfway across. It's a big, wide river. We're only halfway across. So very soon a big storm came up, and the boat was rocking, and it capsized. And in the meantime, the boatman, he was swimming, and the scholar, the boatman called out to the scholar, "Do you know how to swim?" "No." "Do you know who is Krishna?" "No, you've wasted 100% of your life." He's going to die without thinking of Krishna. So all our knowledge, bhajankara, shadankara, marte jannayoy. In Bengali it said, everything we do, here it said our bhajan, our worship, that will be tested. But definitely at the time of death, if we simply know how to build bridges and mend motor cars, and we can pass general knowledge tests, it's not going to help us. It's our consciousness that is important. If our consciousness is pure, we will go to a good destination. If our consciousness is completely pure by thinking of Krishna, we will go to Krishna. But if our consciousness is polluted by mundane thoughts, kaam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya, this lust, greed, anger, illusion, the madness of identifying with this body, and envy of others, then we shall have to take birth in a lower species. We will be trapped again and again in birth and death. Therefore, Krishna describes what is actual knowledge means, that we should develop good qualities, qualities that are conducive for our spiritual development. Krishna describes them: humility, pridelessness, amanitvam, adambhitvam. These two are very similar. Humility, not desiring to be honored by others. Amanitvam, and adambhitvam, that not behaving in a very haughty way with others, very proudly. So, non-violence, that's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam further, nati hingsrena. One cannot completely avoid violence because even accidentally we might tread on some animal or we might say something we don't intend to make others feel bad, but they take it in a different way and they feel that we're insulting them. So, but we should not deliberately give harm to others. Tolerance, we should tolerate. This material world is full of many difficulties. Simply studying ABC, MSC, this will not give us the knowledge, the wisdom to tolerate the vicissitudes of this material world, understanding that this material world by its very constitution is a difficult place. So we have to remember Krishna and go on in this world. Simplicity, of course, all these terms could be explained in great detail, and Srila Prabhupada has actually given a long purport here. Please, I'm asking again and again, please read these books. You'll be so grateful. I know if on my request you start reading this book, I know you'll be very grateful to me. But I'm just telling you what Prabhupada and what Krishna and all our acharyas have given. So all these qualities, simplicity, approaching a bona fide spiritual master, this is essential. One cannot make spiritual progress just by reading books. Reading Bhagavad Gita is essential, but one has to be guided by a spiritual master who has developed these qualities. Cleanliness, external and internal. External cleanliness by regularly taking bath and brushing teeth, and changing clothes, keeping our house and quarters clean, and internally clean by thinking of Krishna, especially by chanting the names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Steadiness. One should be very steadily, calmly fixed in his vow to serve Krishna. Self-control. This is very similar. That we should, our senses should not control us. We should be in control of the senses. Renunciation of the objects of sense gratification. Not that, oh, ice cream, I must eat it. TV pro, I must, something interesting, I must watch. No. Control the senses. Fix the sense, fix the mind on Krishna. Absence of false ego. Instead of thinking, I'm so great, we should think, Krishna is great. The perception of the evil of birth, death, old age and disease. One should move in this world seeing all the time this is the world of death. So these qualities, there are more and more qualities described. Unfortunately, there's not enough time to describe them all. But the most important of them all is, as described here by Lord Krishna, mai chanyena yogena bhaktira avyabhicharini. Ananya yoga. One should be fixed in bhakti yoga to Krishna without any deviation, all the time fixed on Krishna. And then automatically all these other good qualities will develop. We should try to develop good qualities, but at the same time we should understand that really good qualities can develop if we place our lives in Krishna's hands, if we surrender to Krishna, if we follow the process of bhakti yoga to Krishna. So this is real knowledge. Knowledge was traditionally imparted in the Gurukuls. That was meant first and foremost for character training. That even, that's what I'm saying, this boatman, he may not be educated, ABC, MSC, all these things, but his character was very high because he knew that the purpose of life is to understand Krishna. So he was not a frivolous person. Whereas someone, they may be very educated in book knowledge, but because they have no knowledge of the purpose of life, generally, nowadays we see people are very educated, but they actually, it tends to be, it's very often you see the people, the more educated they are, the more doubtful they are about God, the more atheistic they are, and they think that all sinful things like free sex and eating dead animals and pornography, all these things, they're okay, they're all right, there's nothing wrong, it's good. So the modern education is so far away from the real purpose of knowledge, that in the name of knowledge, it's actually promoting ignorance. Ignorance of the soul, ignorance of the purpose of life, and ignorance of even how to act like a civilized and cultured human being. at the present time, there's more an supposed education than at any time in history. Every little kid's being sent for some kind of education, but the result is they're producing monsters, people who, more and more sinful population, people don't know, they don't care that animal eating is sinful, they don't care taking intoxication is sinful. In the name of education, they're promoting. You'll see in the colleges, the boys and girls are all mixing up freely. And then where's the question of developing higher qualities? Where's the question of developing higher knowledge? They say that higher knowledge means to have a university degree, but that's not higher knowledge. Higher knowledge means the knowledge by which we can control our senses and fix our mind in pure loving devotional service to Krishna. How can we say that someone has higher knowledge if his consciousness is like that of a dog or a cat? The dog is simply interested. Where is there some food? Where is there some female dog that I can enjoy myself with? And if any other dog or cat or other being interferes, then he'll show his teeth. So the modern man is not developing higher qualities. He's actually developing lower quality, or not developing, but receding. Devolution, going backwards. We say that the progress of human society is not progress, it's regress, because proper knowledge is not being given. Real knowledge is being given here in Bhagavad Gita. This one Bhagavad Gita is worth more than all the Nobel Prizes and all the PhDs and all the MSCs. If any person can understand one line from this Bhagavad Gita, they become an actually educated person. Whereas all this so-called knowledge, if you end up forgetting Krishna, then you become a dog and a cat in your next life. Why? Because you're acting like a dog and a cat in this life. So please take this knowledge very seriously. It's not just some religious time pass. This knowledge is the knowledge of the real purpose of life. So please study this Bhagavad Gita as it is. Take it very seriously and imbibe this knowledge in our hearts by always and everywhere, remembering that Krishna is the Supreme Lord and we have to chant His holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
The ancient wisdom that you have just heard is contained in the publications of the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust.